Our scripture lesson this morning comes from the book of James, and it's James chapter 1, verses 17 through 27. Some scripture texts have more challenges than others, and this is one that I particularly struggle with. I hope I'm not the only one who struggles with holding my tongue. Anyway, this is from the New Revised Standard Version. Every generous act of giving, with every perfect gift, is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. In fulfillment of his own purpose, he gave us birth by the word of truth, so that we would become a kind of first fruits of God's creatures. You must understand this, my beloved. Let everyone be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger. For your anger does not produce God's righteousness. Therefore, rid yourself of all sordidness and rank growth of wickedness, and welcome with meekness the implanted word that has the power to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not merely hearers who deceive themselves. For if any are hearers of the word and not doers, they're like those who look at themselves in a mirror, but they forget, and they look at themselves and on going away immediately forget what they were like. But those who look into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and persevere, being not hearers who forget, but doers who act, they will be blessed in their doing. If any think they are righteous and do not bridle their tongues, but deceive their hearts, their religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to care for orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself unstained by the world. The word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. As a newcomer, if you're visiting with us today, I'm a newcomer as well, and as you know, and I found this community to be very gracious. I should tell you that at the meet and greet at JNS Cafeteria a couple weeks ago, my husband Joe spilled both his green beans and his sweet iced tea in the same night, and that's rare. Usually I'm the one who spills things. And then at the Fab pool party this past Tuesday night, our son Ivan got very excited and swallowed a lot of chlorinated water, and when he does that, he tends to spit up a little bit. And believe it or not, I'm still here on Sunday. So as a newcomer to this community, if you're a newcomer, I found this community to be extremely gracious and understanding and forgiving, and I praise God for that, because who knows, you know, what else is going to happen this week in terms of how I or my family might embarrass ourselves. Moving brings out sometimes the worst in a married couple. Can I get an amen? Here is the example, or one example, of what happened between me and Joe in the weeks leading up to our moving here three Tuesdays ago. He said to me, after I lamb-blasted him yet one more time, "Why don't you ever make a suggestion?" I said. He said, "Because every suggestion I make, you're critical of." I know no other wife is critical of their husband, right? So I really heard what he said, and I tried to take a breath and think about what I was saying before I said it. Here is an example. The second day we were in the house, Joe got all excited. He said, "Well, how about we put this table right here, and then we put the picture over it, and then we can put these other two things on either side." And I wanted to say, "That space just isn't big enough." But instead, I said, "You know, that might be a really good idea. Let's try. Do you know how hard it was for me to treat..." to treat each suggestion that he made with kindness and with graciousness and not immediately jump to my own judgment and conclusion. And that's where this passage from James speaks to me, and perhaps it will speak to you. Let us pray. Holy God, we need practice holding our tongues and bridling them. We ask that you let the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing to you, for you indeed are our rock and our redeemer. And from you we learn how to let our actions speak louder than our words. Amen. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Anybody learn that rhyme growing up? This is a lie. We know it's a lie, and James knows it's a lie. Perhaps James has seen a parent call their own child stupid one too many times, and then has watched that child's life unfold as if the derogatory word of the parent was a prophecy of doom. Perhaps James himself has been the recipient of damaging or smart-alecky comments that he tried to ignore, all except for the tears which poured out of his eyes and burned his cheeks with hot pain. A story of a son and a father. A son who had just spent the day with his dad learning the finer points of baseball just happened by his father's journal that evening, and his dad had left his journal entry open on the kitchen table. The son, Tommy, read his dad's handwriting there. Spent the whole day with Tommy trying to teach him about baseball. A giant waste of time. How do you think Tommy felt about those words? Words make worlds. Words can hurt or heal. They can build up or destroy. They can feed someone's life, and they can starve someone to death. James takes this very seriously because he is trying to tell Christians how to live our lives of faith in a practical way. And don't we all want some practical application? Can I get an amen? One of the most practical insights that James gives us is this, and here's my extra biblical translation. Are you ready? Loose lips sink ships. That's what James tells us. The tongue is like the rudder of a ship. It can keep you on course, or it can guide you into the Bermuda Triangle. Like a horse needs a bridle for direction, the tongue must be tamed for good relationships to flourish. Like one spark can burn down a whole forest, a misplaced fiery word in a community of faith can char it into rubble. We have huge power in our mouths, my brothers and sisters, and we often forget to take that power seriously. If we're to take James seriously, however, then this means that we act on what he says. For James, faith without works is dead. Works and faith play off and feed each other. James makes the case that to be Christian, actions and words must go together. They must match. What we say and what we do need to be consistent. Now, this is tricky, and here's a favorite parental cop-out that I use. I love confessing in church. And okay, here's a favorite parental cop-out. I'm sure I'm the only one who's ever used it. Do as I say, not as I do. Now, that little saying dismisses us from responsibility and accountability in family relationships, but it also dismisses us from responsibility and accountability in community relationships. If I say one thing up here on Sunday morning and then do something different on Monday, which will you believe the most? what I said on Sunday or what you saw me do on Monday. Don't actions speak louder than words? Francis of Assisi, not Asbury, Francis of Assisi said, "It's no use walking anywhere to preach unless our walking is our preaching." He also said, "Preach the gospel. If necessary, use words." James begins with one of our inmost possessions, our own tongues, to guide us to join personal morality with social ministry. Where the rubber meets the road is where our words are backed up with our actions. Saying we know how to do better, but not doing better, well, that's the challenge of being human, but it's also the challenge of being Christian. Now, in the early days of the church, what set Christians apart in a world that was dominated by Jewish and Greek thought was that their words were consistent with their actions. People didn't go around the ancient world saying, "I heard the Christians say this, and I really believe it." It's not what they said. It was what they did. The word about Christianity on the street was, "Look at how those Christians love each other." And that's what made Christianity spread like wildfire in the ancient world, even though people who were Christian were being persecuted and oppressed. James reminds us that it doesn't stop at how we love each other here inside the walls of this place. However, James reminds us that it is a beginning point how we love each other. The second part of our love for each other extends to how we love people outside these walls. It is because God loves us that we love each other. And then, in turn, that's why we love others with this same kind of love. The saying goes, "Love isn't love until you give it away." The care for orphans and widows, James tells us, is the mark of pure religion, giving love away to others who might not have love. There's a connection between personal morality and social ministry in the Christian faith. The early Methodists were examples of this because they linked what they called scriptural holiness with social holiness. Personal devotional life is the perfect dancing partner with community outreach. An inspiring service of worship on Sunday is the home base for players who like to put their hearts and heads in the game of mission and outreach. Bible study and small groups are the roots that nourish the leaves of laughter and love and witness to a world that is full of people who are unloved and joyless. Now, this is an intimidating example, and I hate to use it in a way, because who can measure up to Mother Teresa of Calcutta? Anybody? But here's an example from Mother Teresa. There was an eager young nun, a novitiate, who was learning about the Sisters of Charity in India, and she was very frustrated with Mother Teresa. She said to Mother Teresa, "Why do we close the doors to pray when there are people who are outside our doors that we need to help, and we need to help them right now?" Well, in her characteristic simplicity, Mother Teresa said, How can we meet Jesus out there if we had not met Jesus in here?" So, words and actions, faith and works go together. And these are our words to do. Remember that God responds with generosity to those who are mouthy. If anybody's mouthy, remember God responds with generosity to you. And God expects those who are mouthy to respond generously to others. May God give us the courage and strength we need to hold our tongues and join our hands in service and witness to the world. Amen. Let us pray. Holy God, we give you thanks for this, your word, which challenges us in a practical way. Help us to match what we say with what we do. This indeed is one of the most difficult challenges that we face as your people, as people whom you have called to make a difference in the world, a difference in love and faith and in hope. We pray that you help us to think twice before we say something, and help us to do before we talk. We pray it in the name of Jesus. Amen. I'd like to invite the Pastor Parish Relations Committee forward and Jamie Bryson forward to pray at the altar. Jamie, as some of you may or may not know, doesn't like a big to-do. He doesn't like a lot of hoo-ha. And he was asked if he would like a reception to send him off in grand style, and he said no. But I asked him this past Monday if he would be willing to come to the altar and if we could bless him in his future endeavors. So we want to bless Jamie, and we want to thank him for the way he's been in ministry here at Francis Asbury for 6 years. And I'm sad about this because I think Jamie and I could get along very well. And we had a great conversation, several great conversations in the last few weeks. And
gave her the dirt on everybody.
Yeah. I've got the dirt. I've got it all in a 3-ring binder. All organized according to times and dates over the last 6 years. Yeah. So we are grateful for you, and we wanted to bless you. So if you don't mind, we'd like you to kneel so that we might pray over you. And you know the pastor, go ahead. You know the Pastor Parish Committee is kind of the committee that shepherds your staff in ministry here. And so these folks have been very important as Jamie has grown and been present with us over the last 6 years. Let us pray. Holy God, we give you thanks for Jamie. We thank you for the way that you've gifted him and for the way that you've called him. We pray that you might continue to guide, guard, and direct his life as doors open for full-time Christian vocation. We pray, O God, that you might ready a church for his humor and for his giftedness and for his musical skill. Make them open and help them to feel right about Jamie, to make a fit both in ministry and in mission. God, we pray this prayer in the name of Jesus, who calls us to serve and to love you. Amen. And we have two gifts for you, Jamie. We appreciate your work here, and God bless you. Thank you. Thank you very much.